I grind for the love of the game. Don't mention Shingun. Too soon. Still licking my wounds. We grind for the love of the game. Approaching NBA Week 21. Let's re-examine the world.
And that's a double whammy for you. Not only did you roster him, but it's also was your preseason guy. That was sad to see. I'm glad that he avoided major injury at least. Yeah. So we can expect to see a bounce back next year.
There's something extra painful about Jamal Murray. Had one that was brutal with less than a minute left a couple years back when he tore his ACL. But there was 39 seconds left in this game. And they had it in hand. And there's something a little more painful about an injury like that in fantasy, but just for the team you root for and in general.
Yeah, because it just invites the why were they in conversation, which is kind of BS, really, because you want your team to be competing to the ends. And so, but when it happens, it's just a bad look.
And so leading into it, Shingun was putting up bonkers stat lines. And they were just like,
yeah,
I mean, he was just a machine. So you can't help. And he'd had a couple 4 game weeks in a row, and you just can't help but to wonder just, you know, if there's a little wear and tear that goes into that, which we'll talk a little bit about wear and tear on this podcast today. But poor one out for Shingun. I'm really happy that he will not be affected by this moving forward. So it was a relief.
Absolutely.
So as mentioned in my intro, also welcome back to Projecting the Jump. We are going to kind of re-examine some of the waiver wire stuff we talked about a week ago. This stuff's moving really fast. You're probably either in your playoffs right now, or it's the week before your playoffs. Or maybe you were knocked out of the playoffs and you're just looking to learn more about how to, you know, play fantasy and improve your process, which we are here for that as well. So
if there's somebody out here that's already knocked out of the playoffs and has listened to this pod, I appreciate you and applaud you. That is grinding. That really is grinding. We've all been eliminated from playoffs and we've not made it, or had seasons where you're not even particularly close. So it's bad. You know, some of it's bad luck. Some of it is just misses on the season. It's a fantasy basketball is a tough beast because you have one chance to redraft and it's in 12 months.
No doubt. Yeah, no, it's a good point. I wanted to give a quick shout out to Thunder Dan Palo of RotoWire. I'm in the league with him and I was able to beat him 7-2. And it felt really close to me the whole time. And on Twitter, he was like, I never even felt like I was close. And, you know, you have an awesome team. Give me a cheers. And I just appreciate that sort of camaraderie in our community. So cheers to you, Thunder Dan. You've been doing this a long time. And it was an honor to beat you. And if it's the only playoff win that I get this season, well, that's not true. It can't be true because I'm in another semifinal. But it was very fun playing you in that matchup. So shout out to you. You want to get into some Rocket stuff?
Yeah, let's hop right in. I mean, we kind of were already waiting in there. We might as well continue on with that thread.
Let's hop in. So, yeah, we want to be quick to kind of examine what we can take advantage of because, you know, with every injury in the NBA, there is opportunity, or at least it's worth examining the opportunity. So let's go over the schedule real quick. So the next little chunk of time here from March 13th to March 19th, the Rockets only have 2 games in 6 nights. So that's a little rough. Week 21, they have a 3-game week, and then they go fofo in weeks 22 and 23. So, you know, just consider that when looking at streamers and sort of thing. I mean, make sure before you're picking up a player this time of year, especially, that you go through and you see, okay, if I pick up this position, can I play him that day? Because if you pick up a marginal Rocket and he only has 2 games for the next 6 days and you can't play him one of them, that's a wasted pickup. You know, I'm assuming you've done that before.
Oh, absolutely. It's the worst feeling. Just a bunch of hollowness.
Exactly. So as you know, Alfred Shingun is out for the rest of the season. He avoided anything serious. One of the players that we talked about in our Silly Season Heroes, Licky in particular, was super interested in Cam Whitmore. Just right off the jump, he's out for 3 weeks. So just as he entered the conversation as a pickup, there he goes. So that was kind of a bummer. Wanted to mention, and you know, you can't do anything about this on the waiver wire, but the usage spike for Fred VanVleet. I mean, he is the 6th-ranked player the past 2 weeks. Did you realize he was killing it that hard?
Wow, yeah, that is pretty amazing, especially coming off of a previously down stretch. I mean, some of that was injuries, but some of it was just kind of a little mini slump that he was on. But I had no idea that he had picked it up that far. And I've noticed that they've been leaning into their starters a little bit more in Houston. I mean,
Yeah.
as we talked about last week, they're still basically they have all the incentive of the world to grind until they're eliminated. But now with the Curry injury in Golden State, the door is ajar just a little bit for them. They're still 4.5 games out at this point, but it's seeable, you know, with whatever it is, about 18 games left, 16 games. They have a shot. So it seems like at this point the franchise is going as hard as they can to win all their games, which is great as far as fantasy goes.
Yeah, not having your own pick will really set the tone when it comes to tanking at the end here. Let's go over their starting lineup in the first game against Spurs, which they won by two, and I know because I laid on the Spurs money line. I thought that was a nice little bet. Spurs were plus 130. It was a good game, but the Rockets pulled it out. So the surprise was Jacque Landale did not start at center. Instead, they started Amen Thompson. Amen Thompson only played 23 minutes, and Jacque Landale played 26 minutes. Jacque Landale had a really nice, well-rounded line. The two steals, the block, and the triple were a nice addition to the 12 points, 5 rebounds, and 4 dimes. I think he's a strong add. I don't think he's a must add. It's situational. Where do you end on Landale right now for folks in their fantasy playoffs are approaching?
I totally agree. I had written down here strong streamer.
Strong. Yep.
Incredible. I think he's going to be giving you about 60 to set probably maybe 70% of what Şengün was able to give you. Mainly because what we saw in Phoenix and so far already in Houston that is that they facilitate through their centers a little bit and it seems like they're going to be keeping with that a little bit. So I think you'll see strong, like higher assist numbers out of Landale than you might other traditional centers. So for that reason, he's gonna, you know, he's not gonna crush it. You know, don't run out and
Right.
make him a must hold. But I think you can expect a well or more well-rounded stat profile.
Yeah, he's a good enough passer. Nothing like Şengün, of course, like Baby Joker, but a good enough passer that he can facilitate some of the same looks and motions on offense to a point.
Yep, totally agree there.
So Amen Thompson, your boy, and my boy is our boy. He did start. He played 21 minutes. He only took two shots, like he. So playing a power forward, he was billed as a point guard. He's had an interesting rookie year. I don't know if I'm ready to call him must roster, but I also don't think I would leave him on any wire. So I guess that's must roster. But yeah, where do you land on this versatile? It's just he's a fascinating player. And where are you at as far as his must roster ability?
It is a kind of a hard read because on one hand the opportunity without Whitmore without Şengün just opens up his minutes vacuum. I mean the fact that he's starting says something right there. But then on the flip side you kind of wanted him more in that super sub role where he could have a little bit more usage because really what they're going to be asking him to do on offense is he's not that much. You know, really it's just kind of stay in that dunker position. And then kind of be a terror on defense, which is good for his development, but maybe not the best for his profile. The one thing I was really surprised to see because initially I was like, oh, okay, Amen Thompson must add, like get him in here. I took a look. He's currently the sixth most dropped player in fantasy today.
Wow, that's reactionary. That's very reactionary.
Yeah, people gave up on him pretty quick after that last game.
People do that. I mean, you got to be careful with that finger. I guess playing it depends how many moves you have. That's one feather. I guess that's one plus to having fewer moves is it gives you an incentive to not make a reactionary drop like that.
Right. It is fantasy playoff, so I'll give any cut some leeway there. You know, I think you could be pretty aggressive up to like a top 40 player. So I can understand it at the same time if you're not in the playoffs or if you have a bye, I just don't understand. I would be scooping them up
Have
in that
to.
case.
And I think, like, again, it's a one game sample size. And when I look at the five players who came off the Houston Rockets bench in that game, there's no one who's facilitating. You have Jeff Green, 14 minutes. Reggie Bullock in his hair, 14 minutes. I think he still has the hair. Jayshon Tate, 13 minutes. Jacque, 26, as we mentioned. And Aaron Holiday, the old vet, 11 minutes. So, yeah, who's really coming off the bench and running the show? You know, I think eventually, with how well Landale played, maybe that flips, even if it doesn't flip in name, meaning even if Amen starts, the rotations could look different and he could be running the second unit, even if he's starting. So, chill out and hold Amen Thompson.
And I think we're on lockstep there.
Okay, we covered the Rockets. Let's go over to Canada. Let's fly up north of the border and touch on some Raptor stuff. So
Yeah.
weeks 21 through 23, Raptors go 3-3-4. I wanted to kind of look into the rotations just the past few games. So the last three games, including tonight, we're recording March 13th, Wednesday. So the last three games, including tonight versus the Pistons, Emmanuel quickly, this has been his pattern. In, out, in, and RJ Barrett, out, in, out. So it's a small sample size, but it's interesting because it helps with usage. And in particular, in a points league setting, I'm in a league with weekly locking lineups, and you get the average score of that player's game. So if the player has like a 40 and a 60, you have a 50 that week. And I have RJ Barrett, and someone else in my league has quickly. And we're really enjoying it because I got a 47 out of RJ Barrett. Quickly gets his big usage game. And so in certain formats, it can actually benefit
Huh.
you. But I
Well,
don't
that's really
know,
interesting.
right? Yeah. So again, there's so many formats of fantasy basketball out there. And yeah, it might benefit you. But hey, if you got the IL plus, if this correlation that's developing sticks, it's a nice way to get somebody in, and go and manipulate the games day to day and try to maximize your games. But so
Yeah,
that.
and Gary Trent as well. I mean, Gary Trent has been that in and out as well, which he isn't quite the same caliber of player, but there still is, he's taking 12 shots or so, so those become available as well. That team would be a stressful team to scream on
I
in
know.
a league with lowered moves for the reasons that you said, because if you could pick up a guy, I think they're great for an end of the week stream, or if you have the ability to pick up a player for one game and then immediately drop him out. Have you moved up or down on Grady Dick at this point? I mean, since we last talked, he's +5% picked up. Is he picked +5 in your heart?
Let's touch on Dick in a minute. I want to touch on something you said real quick, and that's about the amount of moves in your league dictating. So I think we know the Grizzlies, the Blazers, the Rockets have joined them. Those are three teams that if you play in a league with three, even four moves, a lot of these guys are stay away for exactly what you mentioned. So we're keeping an eye on that for a reason. Bruce Brown, he missed four games and he's played his last two, 38, 33 minutes. So I think those are must roster 12 team lines. But again, proceed with caution depending on your settings.
Bruce Brown is an interesting one. I was kind of almost thinking about this. I was wondering if he's like that rare guy that, he's what is it? He's 40 something, 46% rostered. But I was almost wondering, and I'm curious, you're in quite a few leagues. Do you get the sense that he is a higher roster percentage in less competitive leagues and highly competitive leagues? Because he went through this kind of really quiet patch, and he was a fairly high drafted player. I was wondering if maybe the roster percentage just hasn't caught up with the perception overall. What do you think about that?
Well, just for my smallest sample size, the only league he's available is our league of record, which we have 11 roster spots, and the other leagues I have a few more. So I think it's just a matter of how many guys can you squeeze in your roster. And we have two IL pluses only, and so at this time of year, most of us are using them in some way. So I think he's right on the fringes there, but he's been an interesting one to monitor. I think there's been times where he's been held and didn't need to be held. I think now is the time to take a shot on him, frankly. Speaking of Dick, his minutes, as far as some of there's some interesting streamers developing. There's a little bit of meat on the bone to touch on, but the minutes for Dick have been the most solid of anybody that we'll kind of look at here. The production's all over the map. He finally had a really useful category league line, not today the 13th, but the game prior. Tonight, he went 4 of 13 again, 1 of 6 from 3-point land, and just didn't do a whole lot, 9 points, 3 rebounds, a steal, and assists in 32 minutes. But the 32 minutes are the most interesting thing. The 26 minutes of Obagi and 0 for 3 from the field, not interesting. But Grady Dick's a player to monitor. I have him in my deepest league here in a semifinal, and I'm going to drop him. I just can't really take the field goal percentage, and they only have two more games this week, so I'm going to stream the spot. And then we take a look at some of the other guys. Jontay Porter has had some moments. 21 minutes today, 10 points, 6 of 6, 6 assists, 6 rebounds, a steal, and 4 blocks. I actually need to sit back. That's more interesting than I expected. And 2 threes in 21 minutes. So that's a Jacques Landale-ish line in 21 minutes. So he's probably at the top of the list of these guys. Jaden McDaniels, the other McDaniels brother, who has a really nice fantasy game when he can get minutes. He can put up some
Yeah,
numbers.
I've been surprised on how little he's been able to crack the rotation this year. I
Totally.
kind of was expecting a little bit more for, when they signed him out of Philadelphia.
I did too. I think he seems a little hard to coach. His brother's very disciplined and is just kind of that cog, that 3-and-D player fits a scheme. I think there's a little bit of showmanship out of this McDaniels twin, and he's going to have to reel it in. He has a bit of Kelly. He acts like he's Kelly Oubre.
Whoa.
There's only one tsunami
We
above
haven't
you.
had a fantastic Kelly Oubre reference in this pod in a minute, so I appreciate that.
Did you see the clip of I'm trying to remember the player it was, but he kind of like stepped over him really arrogantly and kind of looked at him and let the player freak out. He just like stood right over him and like wouldn't let him get up and like had this smirk on his face. Like that dude is a over the top
Wow,
player.
Ty Lue-ish.
Yes, since that he was doing the Iverson. Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. A reverse Ty Lue.
Exactly. Anyone else on the Raptors roster that's interests you? Can I get any love for
That
Garrett?
was the only one. I mean, Grady Dick was the one guy I was kind of expecting, was kind of thinking if he continues to see this 35 minutes a night, mid to uppers. I mean, I was kind of trying to go through, and I went through like Basketball Monster, and it just was like, all right, what is he bad at? Punt, 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 and then just to kind of get some comps on him. And so it was kind of thinking he could be like Sadiq Bey with heavy minutes. I kind of there could be a similar profile there, or a Kyle Kuzma light of sorts. I mean, because he's really on his best days going to be giving you points, threes, rebounds. So it's a scary stream because if the shots aren't falling, then that impacts both points and threes, and all you're left is with rebounds. But when they're hitting, then you're getting three pretty decent categories.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Yeah, it's all a risk this year, and this in particular, it just feels like there's a lot of guys. There's not a lot of comfort in. Please stream with caution, stream with care, stream with a friend.
No, that's true. The one thing I do have, I don't think you need as much caution with, and I think you can stream into your life on the daily is Steelbridge Coffee. I've been streaming that into my life pretty regularly. Head over to steelbridgecoffee.com/PTJ, our title sponsor, and you can get yourself 4 pounds of really premium organic fair trade coffee, and it's delivered to your door. And it costs, like I've said before, a couple pennies a day more than what you're getting at the grocery store. And in return, you're getting much higher quality coffee that just tastes better, and you don't have to make another trip to the store. So once again, that's steelbridgecoffee.com/PTJ.
I'm actually about to order some Steelbridge because I can't find the right coffee out here in New Orleans. It's all too smooth. Like it just it, and you know, and you can get what's the well, I'm not going to waste too much time thinking about different coffee brands, but no, I need a shipment of Steelbridge. So I will be checking out the cards. Actually, I was going to do that before we recorded, but I'll probably do
Oh
that before
yeah,
tomorrow.
there's some good ones out there. I don't know if I'm going to spring for the $150 Kobe card, although I think that one is worth quite a bit of money, but we'll see. The last one I got was a Patrick Ewing card, and so I don't know how well that one's going to age.
Imagine trying to stream in Patrick Ewing at like the very end of his career.
Orlando Patrick Ewing.
Yeah, Seattle Patrick Ewing was probably the last like serviceable 12-team lines you were getting out of him. Those knees were so
No.
swollen.
Yeah.
So speaking of
Yeah.
swollen knees, let's so I wanted to kind of examine a little bit now that we're just really feeling the burn as fantasy managers in a lot of different ways right now with the injuries. And there's been talk in the past about reducing the schedule. So I was going to ask you as an open before I wanted to touch on a piece that Kevin Arnovitz of ESPN. By the way, has there been a better low post guest than Kevin Arnovitz? He's my favorite.
Yeah, he's strong.
Good.
I have a soft spot for Kevin Pelton. I know he's a little polarizing, but I like the Northwest vibe on him.
Yeah, it's Pel for me. It's the power rankings are right there: Arnovitz and Pelton, and then Bam McMahon, right, way down here. Howdy, partners.
Oh, okay. Oh, Tim McMahon. Yeah, right, too.
Yeah, he likes to call himself Bam.
Oh, really? Okay. I don't see that kind of zone out while he's talking.
You know, I actually, yeah, I love Brian Windhorst. Let's do it at that. He's fun. He does a good job on the pod. Anyways, how did we arrive at 82 games? Have you ever given any thought to that? Like in general, why do we play 82 games?
No, it is interesting because the NHL is also 82 as well. So there seems to be some consensus out there that that was the right amount. I have no idea. Is there, do you know of a backstory on this?
Yeah, so this is an excerpt from Kevin Hrdavik's article, October 2011, entitled "Why Is There an 82-Game Schedule?" So go check that out. And again, shout out Kevin Hrdavik. So NBA teams, they played 80 games each beginning in 1961-62. The league added an additional game in 66-67. Total went up to 81. They ultimately settled on 82 games for the 1967-68 season when the San Diego Rockets and the Seattle Supersonics joined the league, making a 12-team league, which I had forgotten. So when the Rockets and Sonics joined, only 12 teams still, as far back as 68.
Jeez.
Yeah. So at that time, like the NBA had each team play its conference rivals 8 times and its inter-conference foes 7 times. So as the league continued to expand, the NBA maintained the 82-game schedule and set for that 50-game season in 99 during the lockout. So I appreciate this part of it. It's classic part of it. Too often we allow tradition to govern the way we do things, and that holds true in the NBA. Rules and laws that were drawn up ages ago become entrenched and are rarely re-examined to see if they're working to their intended effect or whether we can improve upon them.
Yeah, I'll tell you my favorite NBA season I think of all time was the 2020 the 2012 or the 2013 lockout shortened season as well. There was, a few less games played that year and it
Like
was
70.
condensed quite a bit.
Yeah.
And so that was incredibly fun as a fan. I know that there was a fair amount of injuries during that one as well, so it's not solving that. But as far as the fan ability, just condensing it a little bit made you kind of lose, like, because even the like hardcore fan, you lose interest a little bit. It's so
Yes.
long. I think shortening it somehow is to me makes a lot of sense. I mean, I think if, as we've said before, if I could wave a magic wand, the first two things I would do is first off start the NBA season sometime in closer to Thanksgiving.
Yes.
So push the season back. You're competing against MLB playoffs. You're competing against college football, NFL. Wipe that off the slate. And then the main thing I would like to do is eliminate the 7-game series and go back to 5. I just like that, just that chaos and that just how hard every team needs to play during those things. And so if you had to eliminate the first 3 weeks of games out of the season, and you ended up with 70 every year. That's totally fine by me. But money rules, and I don't know if that's ever going to be happening.
So when you say best of five, do you mean going back to the first round being best of five, or would you even want to see it all the way to the finals?
I think maybe all the way, excluding the finals. The finals at 7 make a lot of sense, but I think even the conference finals at 5. I think two rational people could have an argument over what the point of the playoffs is. I mean, on one side of things, you have the NFL, which is just rewarding the hottest team, and on the far ex other side of things, you have the NBA, which is rewarding the best team. And so I kind of,
Interesting.
you know, it there's less luck involved in it. There's less ability to get hot. I mean, the last team, I guess you, besides the Miami Heat that really got
Yeah.
hot and it did something, was the 07 Mavericks went on a heater and did that. But it's so rare in the NBA, and I think that's one element, one of the few elements that college basketball has over the NBA. Not that there's many.
So the 2011 Mavericks, that was the title winning team that went on the
2011,
heater.
thank you. Yeah.
2006 was the year, might have been 2006, seven, was the year Avery Johnson was coach of the year, and they were the number one seed, and the We Believe Warriors knocked them out in the first round. And that was the very end
Oh,
of the best
Baron
of five.
Davis.
That was the end of the best of
Yes.
five.
Oh man, that was awesome. That was
It
an
was.
awesome series. It was
Dude,
so loud in those games.
so no, it was such a great series. So, not to go on too much of a tangent, even as a Sonics fan, 93 94, we go up 2-0. We lose to Dikembe Mutombo's Nuggets,
Yeah.
in 3 straight games. That didn't make
Right.
me want to change that exciting. You know what I mean? Like, yes, we got to at least start with the first round. So, we're in agreement there. What's
Yep.
interesting is Kevin Arvidsson proposed playing 44 games as in a season. So that would make one midweek game and one weekend game. And then teams playing on, a Wednesday night and then like a Saturday or Sunday night, there would be that like event feeling to it because you would be looking forward to it. And then you would kind of know, like he wrote here, I quote, "In the current scheme, it's difficult to answer the question, when does your NBA team play? Tuesdays? Sometimes. Every other day? Occasionally it works out that way. Sundays? It depends." Like, so that was kind of an interesting, just that scarcity factor, but how important is scarcity, to the NBA? It's obviously because of the major market teams like the Lakers, the Knicks, and the Celtics and such, like they're not going to want to reduce their TV packages alone. So I think that's why we kind of stay anchored in the 82.
I kind of I'm not holding my breath for any less amount of games. In fact, I mean, if NCAA is talking about expanding the March Madness to 90 games, 90 teams or whatever it is, I think we're almost more likely to just go ahead and see 12 teams make the playoffs in the NBA. So I'm not holding my breath for it. I think it's hard to take away revenue, but once we're voted on as co-commissioners of the league, then there'll be some pretty aggressive changes happening.
No doubt, no doubt. All right, so yeah, I really liked that piece, and I could read excerpts from it all night. But we'll move forward into how, what can we do about this as fantasy managers, as fantasy leagues, like how. So this season in particular, I think the injury reporting has been atrocious for many teams. What's your take on the injury reporting? Do you think it could be improved? Like, how much is that like? How much is that a bugaboo for you? Because it's been one for me.
Well, more than anything, I'm besides being, frustrated as a guy, as you're trying to figure out this time of year, do you roster so and so because you don't have a timetable on them? I'm more surprised by it because we're talking about the era of sports gambling at this point, and so I would have just expected that there would have been so much pressure on the league to say, "Hey, you have to give us more accurate." Reporting on these injuries because it felt like going into the season they were going to make that an emphasis at least as far as rest goes, and so they did crack down on that. So they weren't allowed to rest because you have a pinky injury or whatever, like a phantom pinky injury, as often. But they're totally fine with guys like Tyler Hero or Mark Williams just being indefinitely questionable.
Yeah, and like they're just reinventing the wheel when it comes to the labels they're using. So I wanted to, so the examples are endless and it's been a problem for a while. I wanted to highlight the Celtics, and I know I mentioned this before we came on, but it seems like they have a strategic comprehensive plan this season to rotate the rest days for like all of their top guys. It seems like it's lasted for about a third of the season. Again, why do we play 82 games? So the play-in was the first move to increase season-long engagement, make regular season games more meaningful. So for me, this is a good example of why I believe in games reduction, even if it's just 76, eliminating some of the schedule losses. If we could find a way to eliminate the back-to-backs, that would be the sweet spot for me, because no other sport has a situation like this where you have the top five players of a team just rotating in and out of the lineup just effortlessly throughout the season. And for me, the Celtics have been an interesting example because it's not a tanking team. It's just a team who's just coasting their way to the one seed. And you've seen that in the past with like the Clippers, as you mentioned before we came on. But this is a comprehensive guide to preserving your players, and I think it's an indictment on the 82 game schedule.
And it's only not a bigger deal because they're winning. I mean, they're doing it so successfully. I mean, I guess the other example I could think of would be maybe the Duncan era Spurs, who kind of pioneered a little bit of this. It is a I mean, it's a great situation for them, and if you're a fan of those teams, you're clearly cheering this because if you can still win games while not adding the wear and tear to some of your guys, then that's going to set you up for whatever your ultimate goal is, which is clearly to win the championship.
Yeah, you have to play within the parameters of the setup that you're in, and the Celtics are doing that beautifully. I would just like to see the NBA address it to kind of reduce the urge to do it.
Well, we're in agreement there. Let's add it to our list or to our platform and start peppering some billboards with our candidacy. I don't know when Adam Silver, who I like, but when he's up for a replacement.
Adam Silverman, okay. He reminds me of a little bit of Gustavo Fring from Breaking Bad. Just that kind of very cold. Just the approach is kind of, he looks like he's very cold to the touch. Like he looks like he's cold to touch. So I want
I
to
like them both.
let's give this a spin. Now, this is something Josh Lloyd has talked about a lot. So what can we do as fantasy leagues to combat this? One thing that's gaining traction, and I don't know if you and I have really talked about it, and I frankly didn't hear about it until this year, is a games cap format. So where you have every team has a certain amount of games they get to play. It's similar to Roto, but it's still in the head-to-head format. But everybody would have, X number of games that they would be able to play by the end of the season. So as Josh Lloyd put it, instead of scamming the schedule, I took that quote from him, each week, we would have a games cap in head-to-head. So it would just be about getting the best players, getting the best plays, not a volume of game situation. So it eliminates like the weekly waiver moves in a league dictating so much every season. I think it also would help to combat the harsh late season drops of must roster players with murky injury timelines. Tyler Herro, there would, be less of a reason to drop a Desmond Bane, who's now been made doubtful, because you would have a games cap to reach. And so rather than just trying to churn every ounce you can out of, okay, the Nets have five games, so I'm going to drop a much better player to pick up this marginal player. I think that's interesting. And that's currently a customizable setting on ESPN, CBS, and Fantrax. Yahoo doesn't have it yet. Had you heard about that? And how's it hit you?
I haven't, and frankly, I'm a little surprised to hear you kind of trumpeting it because I feel like you almost more than anybody have done like a great job at kind of maximizing every ounce of
Yeah.
your team. Because I feel like a lot of times when you look at like my team in our joint league this season is the talent level is maybe an eighth or ninth best on the talent level, but I've had some good luck, but then also the moves have allowed me to move up. And so I don't think I have that good of a team, but it's just been kind of maximizing that. And so it is interesting because on one hand, that's part of the gamesmanship is making the right moves and making everything count. But the format you're talking about is a much more pure setup in that let's roll the ball out there and see and let the best team win.
Yeah, and you would still obviously stream because you would have guys get hurt. It would just make it to where you wouldn't have to drop guys as much because you would have a certain amount of games to get to. I've never played in a league like that. It just was an interesting idea. The fact that we don't always have to play the way we've always played just because that's how we played. I thought it was kind of interesting. But yeah, I'm not sold on it. I still enjoy streaming, but I think it's an interesting thing to talk about. This is something I mentioned to you that I just kind of thought of because I really enjoy the all-star break period when you get to combine one game into 2 weeks. So I thought that the 2 week period idea is kind of interesting. So, with this setting, I think weekly moves and streaming, as we've known, we'd have a 2 week period. So it would reduce the randomness, the imbalance that the games played for the players we have on our team has. So like a 2 game week could be blended with a 4 game week from a player, making a 6 game week. So that has a little less random impact. That way, if you had a 2 and a 4 and another team had a 3 and a 3, that all kind of evens out a little bit more. So for instance, like Luka Doncic, and I hope he's okay, Nate, in the playoffs next week, you would be sweating that a little bit less if you were combining the periods. And it just reduces the importance of that. So it's interesting. And the way I wrote it out is we'd play each manager once. So you'd have 11 regular season games. It could be 10, but the idea needs to be workshopped. But it's just kind of an interesting way to, and I really enjoy those 2 game week periods. It's fun, especially in our league, because we got so much smack talk going on. What do you think of the 2 week period idea?
I think it sounds really fun. I mean, I like what you're talking about because it eliminates that just those scheduling losses, like you mentioned. Because sometimes you go up against somebody, and you're like, "Well, I play six less games this week.
Yeah,
There's not much I can do to win this
exactly.
one. That's fine. I'm sure in 3 weeks I'll have the inverse happening, and I'll just win that week with the same reasoning behind it. I'm really curious to see in 10 years because. It is wild. I mean, fantasy basketball is wild in that there's so many formats and so many
Yeah.
different styles. And it's already, I mean, from 15 years ago, it's morphed so much where it used to be all Roto League to now there's this, now it's an emphasis on category leagues, but there's so many different things. I'm curious to see if in 10, 15 years, if everybody's playing one or two styles, or maybe they're not even anywhere near the games that we're playing right now.
I have to, this is such an interesting point. It kind of makes analyzing the game from the standpoint that we're trying to do and challenging, but also exciting because you have to give advice that it really isn't one size fits all. There's really no way for me to tell Joe Schmo exactly who he should prioritize in his own league. So it's that kind of makes it fun, but it is a little more challenging than in fantasy football, for instance, on a Monday, you know, when a running back goes down and everybody's talking about, you know, how much fab do I spend on so and so? Like it's a little more clear cut. Obviously, there's a lot of nuance to it as well, but in fantasy basketball, because of exactly what you said, it's actually hard to give one size fits all advice, and that wouldn't be very fun.
But let's go ahead and try and run down through some potential guys the rest of the season here. Unless you had any other points you wanted to knock out on
I could go all day. I could go all day,
I
but
don't know.
I think the one thing I wanted to mention is points leagues are a nice alternative if you're looking for a casual experience. I know I mentioned that I play in one that has weekly locking lineups, so you get the average score. It presents challenges, but it's less maintenance. So there's a lot of fun ways to play. I like to try to play in all these different leagues and challenge myself in different ways. But that's the only other thing I was going to mention is yeah, points leagues, they're not quite as exciting, but it is kind of fun because it takes a little bit of like the day-to-day stress out of it.
Yeah, the youths are looking for a lot of casual experiences, like you're mentioning.
They are. It's a great Gen Z format. Yeah, so you got any other guys on the waiver wire we want to take a look at?
Yeah, I wanted to just kind of pop in real quick and just kind of get your take on a couple guys. These can be kind of quick hitters, but was thinking about the one guy that we missed on touching on last week, and I think that was I just wanted to bring him up because I think we kind of erred on that is Fontecchio. We mentioned him briefly, but I looked at him a little bit closer and he's the 39th ranked player in fantasy. But he's still somehow only 41% rostered.
That's
How,
insane. The 39.
yeah,
He's
it's
taking all the
absolutely
shots.
crazy.
He's taking all the shots he wants right now.
He really is. I took a look because he's kind of in that as you I mean you were telling kind of telling the story of Micić being that late career rookie. Fontecchio is a little similar. He's not a rookie, but he's kind of a late start guy, and so he's 28 years old, but just kind of getting his NBA start to this point. And I went back and looked at his like Italian league stats because he was undrafted, so I just wanted to see like, okay, is this one of these things where he was an absolute stud in Italy and then it just took him a minute to catch on? But no, these last 2, 3 weeks are the best stretch of his entire career, even when he was in Italy. So my question to you is, are you buying this,
I will be
or has this
honest.
been this been this been it?
I had a block around Fontecchio. I didn't give him a sniff personally, and there's no, that's not good process. I don't have any advice to give. I, for some reason, sometimes you just have these blind spots as the season progresses. And when they got Fontecchio, I could have given a rip. And now as somebody in our league of record that have Thompson in and out of the lineup for Detroit, he would be a perfect partner to pair because he's picking up the usage. He's missed two straight games, Zaire Thompson with an asthma situation. So someone send that boy an inhaler trying to get into the playoffs, but yeah, no. But yeah, Fontecchio, but I got enough problems, man. But yeah, no, I guess the answer is not really, but it's real right now and he needs to be rostered. And if you have him right now, he's your 10th best player. That is a real boost right now this time of year.
It feels like one of those guys that at no point are you looking at somebody else's roster. If you're going against them, are you worried about them? But it could be one of those things at the end of the season, you look back and you're like, damn, like Fontecchio, like who saw this 4 week
Oh
run
my
happen to
God.
him?
Okay, we need an all I'm not worried about him team of like players that when you look at the end and you've lost your week, you should have been worried about.
Absolutely. I love this category. We're definitely doing this pod. That one's a win.
Mark it on your construction paper, please.
Right, yeah. The next guy I got who probably fits into this exact category, but maybe not. My question is, at what point Do we just roster Corey Kispert?
Oh my God, Nate. So I have to tell you, it's funny you bring up Corey Kispert or any wizard, because last week we didn't talk about the Wizards at all. And we talked
No,
about all the
nope.
bottom rung teams, and we just didn't bring up the Wizards. So Corey Kispert's one of these guys that you can have, but it's fine to drop. He's a schedule-based cut every week. He could put up 30 points with seven threes. And if it's a Saturday and he doesn't play till Tuesday and I need to get in games, I'll cut him. Just no mercy.
He could go for 50 and I'd be like,
Yeah.
"Whoa, what are the odds? I'm not gonna do that again."
Exactly. Like when Tony Delk went for 50, did you roster him all year that season? Probably not.
Wow,
Shout
Tony
out
Delk went for
UK2K.
50.
Yeah, he scored
Amazing.
50. And that was in like the
I
early
did not know
aughts
that.
when nobody was doing it. Yeah.
Wow,
And his
that's
jersey was
amazing.
like three times the size of his body.
This guy was a
Remember
skinny dude.
giant jerseys back then.
He's averaging 34 minutes a game over the last week. So, and he's
Yeah.
16, 3, 2.5 with 3 threes. And he's kind of in a really slumpy three throw percentage. So his actual rankings are kind of low. They're way below his career average. But it seems like Washington is intent on force feeding him. So my thought is if you need those
Yeah.
categories, you can kind of add them without fear. And if you don't, then don't give him a second look.
Add him without fear. I like that. Yeah. He is super usable right now. You know who I was excited on the Wizards roster here was the Renaissance, the rising from the dead of Rashawn Holmes. Unfortunately, he's dead again. But that was fun. We had a couple like throwback Rashawn Holmes games. Remember those flip shots with the Kings? He was a top like 30 player. He was like a Robert Covington of centers.
And then he had like 2 years in a row where he was still drafted.
Yeah.
Like we the
Same
fantasy
way.
community still
Yeah.
had him in the top
Yeah.
50 area,
Yep.
and then we're like, okay, well, last season was
Mm-hmm.
an aberration.
Yep.
This year he's gonna be top 50 again.
Yep. And then the final year where he was in the top 50, he was just like he didn't play that last year. I was out on him at the right time. I do believe I can credit my account that I was not out on that last year, but I did love me some Rashawn Holmes.
Yeah, I do remember you rostering him quite a bit. So moving on down the line, is Isaac Okoro becoming a close to a must roster player
No.
with Mobley out?
No.
No,
Make the
no.
case though.
Well, the case being that his you're basically looking at an off-brand Herb Jones. And if
Off
you're
brand.
saying Herb Jones is close to must rosterable, what Isaac Okoro is giving you is very comparable right now during the stretch without Mobley and Max Strus, and George Niang being out. So there's a quite a bit of injuries there. Mitchell obviously too.
Sure.
And so I think what he's given you is elite defense. So 1.5 steals, 1.1 blocks, with 2.3 threes. So he's actually becoming the player the Cavs have kind of always wanted. And when I've been watching Cleveland games, he's a terror on defense. Like
Yeah.
he clearly looks more comfortable out there. I feel like before it was like he just looked like he was just like floundering on the courts. And now he looks like a little bit like he's about to put it all together.
You've
And
always
so I,
been in an Okoro. You've been an Okoro guy.
yeah, I like the, I like the I like that frame of a 3-and-D guy that's elite in those categories, fitting in really
Yeah.
well on a team that needs that player. So I liked the situation he was in, but I don't know about him.
If you received mysteriously from James Robinson and Isaac Okoro big head, would you put it up in your home? By the way,
Are you talking from experience here?
this is a good time to speaking of James Robinson, because every time Licky has something to send me, he says that James Robinson in our League of Records, shout out J Rob. You'll eventually hear his voice on this pod. You say it's coming from James Robinson, and that's just this like alias that you're sending something. And what Licky sent here is we now have our own business cards, because in 2024, what does an amateur podcast need more than a business card? But I'll be honest, when these suckers came, I was fully sold. So here's the front, beautiful font, kind of retro without trying too hard. And then right here, that scanny thing, you want to recall those, See, it says we grind for the
QR
love of the
code.
game. Yep, QR code. Thank you. It pulls up our link tree, and you can get, the podcast, YouTube page, our Steel Bridge page pops up on there. Pretty much anything you
Yeah.
could ever want. So we
Right.
possess
Yeah,
these suckers.
gives you access to our email account, so anybody that has any questions or
Yep.
other sponsors can kind of hit up our email account there too. And
Also, dead serious, if you're watching this video on YouTube or if you're listening to the audio, if you leave a comment with your name, shoot me a message, I will mail you one of these business cards. So if you're listening to the pod and you want one of these suckers
oh yeah.
physically, you can have one. I will pay the postage. Just message me on YouTube. Make a comment on the YouTube. Email, actually, we have a Gmail, which Licky set up. Thank you, Licky. And you can email our Gmail. Email the Gmail. It's on the scanning buzzer thing. What's that email address, Licky?
Projectingthejump@gmail.com.
That's so simple. Appreciate that.
Yeah, making it easy.
It sounds like we're getting into the plugs. Did you have any other players? We just started plugging
Yeah,
stuff.
the last thing I wanted to get into is not as much players, although I had some other players, but I think the main thing I wanted to, as we're looking ahead to next week, I wanted to get a sense of how ruthless you plan to be or are comfortable being with cuts as you're in the playoffs. And so I wanted to run through a couple teams and just real quickly here, just off the top of your head,
I love this game.
kind of tell me what you're thinking here. So I was looking specifically at next week. So that would be the week starting the what is that, the 17th. And so you have the Hornets, which have two games. I guess the first question is there anybody that if you're in a league with a lower amount of roster moves, is there anybody on that team that you're holding? Are you holding on to Brandon Miller?
So I'm going to use our league as an example. So our league has three moves. If you have a marginal player from the Hornets or the Mavericks, if you're holding a PJ Washington, a Daniel Gafford, a Derek Lively, anyone that's not, well, we'll get into the names that you would not cut. You're going to have to make a move to get rid of them. So, I'm holding on to Lively and Nick Richards. I have to get rid of those guys after they play their, I'm going to wait till they play their first game. So Charlotte in particular and Dallas, their first games are Tuesday. So hold on for that free game on Tuesday. And then the Mavericks play their next game on a Thursday. The Charlotte Hornets play not until Saturday. So for me, once I get my Tuesday game, I'm cutting every single player on the Charlotte Hornets. Unless if I really think I can make it to Saturday with Miles Bridges, then I probably would do that. But if, in the playoffs, unless if you're playing someone with some injuries, now don't take anything as just like, it's set in stone. But if you're in a super competitive matchup, if you're a little behind with the injury bug, if you had to cut some of your better players, and you're rolling with guys you picked up on the waiver wire, you got to be ruthless. There's not a single Charlotte Hornet after Tuesday that I would roster. But make sure you get your Tuesday game for both the Mavericks and the Hornets for their 2-game weeks.
Nice. Yeah, that seems really a sound advice. Now, I was looking at a couple teams. I got three teams here that I'm just going to roll through real quick that have three total games next week, but they all are interesting because they only have one game within the first 4 days. So, one game between Monday and Thursday. So, which makes it difficult. So, the first team being the Lakers. Would you cut D'Lo or Reeves, if you were in this league in a competitive playoff matchup?
So this would be week 21, right?
Week 21,
Yeah,
yeah.
the Lakers play on Monday and then not again till Friday. I just like to know the days as it lays out, and then Sunday. So after I get my Monday game, I'm going to stream that spot for D'Lo. I feel a little bit differently about Austin Reeves. I just think his floor game to game is higher than D'Lo, and he helps you out in many more places. So I'm really trying to hold on to that 3-game week with D'Lo. But depending on who's on your waiver wire, I think streaming that spot in if you can, even if you only pick up two games. If you can get your D'Lo game and they get two more games from Tuesday to Thursday, say someone, a team that plays Tuesday, Thursday. If you can get those two games prior to the D'Lo game, I'm doing that. What about you?
Yeah, I think that seems really sound. I might even consider dropping Reeves too, just at the altar of if you can get in somebody that's going to be giving you 12, 4, and 4, I think that's going to ultimately add up to more than what those guys can give you.
So you're saying pick up Dorian Finney-Smith?
Well, I already had him on all my teams, so I
No, you
don't know
don't.
how. I don't wait. Is he available in leagues?
Matt Boucher has him. I'm playing against him right now, and I have him in one of my other leagues. So,
Good. Yeah, you're in competitive leagues. Now, I won't make you talk about the Thunder, who are in the exact same situation, but we'll
okay.
skip over to the last team, which would be the San Antonio Spurs, who also have that kind of rough situation where they have a game Tuesday and then not again till Saturday, Friday.
Yeah, I'm not cutting Devin Vassell,
You're not. Okay, that's what I
man.
was really was wondering about.
No. No, Tuesday, and then you got Friday and Saturday back to back. I'm getting those three games before Saturday, and if you have to cut Sunday, you'll know exactly what you need. You can get in three games before the last day. That's worth keeping, I'd say. You're
Okay.
Jeremy Sohans, I'd cut him before the Friday game. Keldon Johnson, gone. Crunch time, Zach Collins. Gone. Malachi Branham, no way. Hold all the way through your title game. God,
He's
that
about
stream.
turned around.
God, that stream went poor, horrible. Oh, there's nothing worse. Nothing worse when you pick up a guy at just the wrong time, right when the ride is over. We've all done
Yeah,
that.
well, I got Branson or whatever his name is from the
Yes,
Blazers.
you did the
So I
same.
know exactly what you're talking about. So that's Delonto Banton. That's
Thank you.
was not going great.
That's such a good point. No, man, it's oof. You never know when the gold's gonna turn you into a fool. Let's go ahead and hit the zombies. I'm happy to do that. Let's give the people some advice. Let's go through their schedule.
Okay. Yeah, so that week they have no game. So they no games Monday, Tuesday. One game Wednesday and then not again Thursday. So one of the first four.
Yeah, they go Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. The Bronco, Jalen Williams, I believe he's not on the injury report for tomorrow, or he practiced. I think things are looking okay there.
Oh, that's good. Okay, nice.
Yeah. So, I
They
mean,
were kind of on the struggle bus without him. I mean, just as far as how they looked.
yeah. And as someone who does have a future on Mike Dagnott, shout out Michael Fiddle. I'm hoping that Bronco gets back. So unfortunately, I made my first investment, in the Zombie Sonics of OKC.
Oh, I never put that together. Yeah, you do have a pretty sizable stake in the Sonics Coach of the Year here.
Thank you, Nate. I appreciate that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so who are some of the players that be on the chopping block? I would try to hold on to the Bronco, obviously Chet, Shea. And I feel like all their other guys are right below the line. Like, you're not worried about keeping an Isaiah Joe. You're not Giddey. You're not, you're,
Giddy? Yeah.
yeah, you'll cut him as quick as you need to. They don't really have
Okay.
that fourth player I would in a 12-team league be afraid to cut, do they?
Yeah, Giddy would be the only guy that I would be like considering because I think I like Dort has actually been really good this season for them, but I think you dropped Dort in this particular case. Giddy would be the question that I kind of had.
Yeah. I haven't checked his box scores lately. I know he wasn't playing too well, and he's playing better as of late.
Yeah, he's having an underwhelming season. I mean, he's 164th as far as average and
Yes.
113th on the season total. So doesn't seem like a must hold, but I think I just wanted to kind of run through this because it's always you really have to flip your brain a little bit when it comes to fantasy and just
No doubt.
and then all of a sudden the guys who you were considering holding all season, when you actually look at your roster with fresh
Oh my
eyes, you
God.
look at them and you go, oh, okay, I have five must holds guys on my entire team now. Everybody else, these other seven spots are all streamers.
Yes. So I wanted to ask you a specific question because I think it's topical and people are going to be thinking about it. So Desmond Bane was made doubtful for their next game. We know that the Grizzlies are one of the biggest messes in the league right now, game-to-game predictability, even with marginal players. So as I saw that you picked him up today, obviously I drafted him and you swooped him and that was a heads up play, but what are your expectations, as far as like, what do you think the Grizzlies' intentions are? Do you think that he's going to come back and, he's going to play 22 minutes a game and then you're going to put him back in the IL Plus and stream and then he'll miss a game here and there? Do you think there's any way that we see 34 minutes out of him for more than one random game? Like, how are you prognosticating the Desmond Bane return for the listeners who might be holding on to him or wondering his value?
Yeah, so my particular case, I had like a lot of teams out there, I've gotten hit with the injury bug pretty hard recently, and so I had Randle, Mobley, and Hero all, and I knew that I had to drop probably two of those guys, and was looking at Hero not having a timeline, and then looked kind of right across the page at Bane, who had very, very similar stat profiles, and I just kind of thought, well, we know Bane's coming back in the next this week. We don't know about Hero. I'm gonna roll the dice because I don't, it just felt like I was trading one injured player for another, but with a better timeline on it. As far as what to expect, that is really a good question, because really what we've seen the last 2 months is that this just kind of egalitarian use of minutes where everybody's getting between 20 and 25. Do we expect Bane to kind of come in and command 30, 35 minutes a night? I think it seems pretty unlikely. I think really best case scenario, he gets just dominates for 25 and puts up a really efficient top 75 finish. But I don't I think expecting what we saw in the first 20 games out of them would be a fool's kind of expectations.
It would be a fool's expectation. Yeah, I think it's one of those. Well, basically, you traded out no timeline, no update for an update. And
Right.
the
And
Grizzlies.
honestly, when I picked him up, they said questionable for tonight, may play. And then
Yeah,
literally
doubtful. Yeah.
1 minute after I picked him up, they said out for the next game to two, next to three. And I was like, well, come on.
It's all on the table. He might not play for a week, and he might play 12 minutes in that game. And we've seen examples of this. I think Paul George had a situation like that. Was it last year or the year before, where he came back from a knee injury and he got all excited, and then he played like 18 minutes a game and he missed every other game.
And yeah, then he got injured, like in the game he came back. Yeah, that was a big hot and bothered situation.
Yeah, exactly. So definitely worth the swoop. Give it a shot. But yeah, temper expectations for sure. Any other guys
Yeah,
note?
I was just I mainly just swooped him because I was expecting a really like hot-blooded text from you, and it took a minute to come through, so it wasn't quite the immediate satisfaction, but I'm getting it now, so that's good.
It's funny, dude. Like last year, I had Towns. I didn't have Towns. I picked up Towns because he was dropped, and I like waited for him to come back. And I agonized. I had a spreadsheet of like, okay, here's the timeline from this reporter. I was looking up random sources, everything I could, and I was like, he finally came back. I was in the first round, and he played like, I don't know, a game for me or whatever. But the sacrifice I made and the games that I lost dropped me enough to where I ended up in the wrong matchup. And I was willing to lose games in order to wait for this potential return. So, buyer beware, just
I
as far
remember
as,
this.
yeah, it was silly. But yeah, sometimes stashing other people's injury, when you drop a player to the wire who's hurt, sometimes someone else picking them up and prioritizing them that can benefit you. Not that I'm saying that happened with Bane. That was not subliminal.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you can feel free to feel that way as I cruise my way to a fourth place finish in this league.
It's been a bloodbath in our league. So, any other guys to touch on them.
No, that we hit on more guys than I was kind of expecting this week, and I'm sure we'll hop on next week and kind of and readjust a lot of these expectations, because these things really are changing week to week. And I think the last thing I have as we kind of get out of here is just, most of the season I kind of like to look at what guys have been doing over the last month and prioritizing those stats. But I think at this point you got to look at what
Each
people have done
week.
the last week, last game, and just kind of go off of that.
It is such a sad point when you see your opening day roster. Go back and look at the team I drafted and then look at the team I have now. It's just brutal. I will just for the people, if you don't know, because Lord knows everyone in our league knows this by now. So the timeline of injuries for me went Bane, Levine, whatever, Trae Young, Cat, and then Şengün. So it's been painful. Licky as well has been weathering. So it's funny to go back and
I have three guys on my roster that I drafted. One guy I traded for it, which is John Collins. So that's it's everybody else's pickups.
it's sick at this point. So I hope you guys are having fun. And don't let it get you down too much. It's just a game. So as you plummet your latest top 50 player to the wire, just remember that we're doing it for the love of the game.
We grind for it.
We do. So as you know, PTJ is an independent fantasy basketball podcast for the people. If you like what you hear, please do kindly rate, review, share, and subscribe. We appreciate any of the engagements. Follow us on Twitter at PROJ the Jump and Flying J, me at Quantum Physics, which I won't spell for you. Just look me up. And yeah, that's about it. And you got anything else, Nate?
No, this was a fun podcast, and good luck to everybody in their matchups this week. And we'll be coming at you next week. I'll be a little more hungover, but it's coming back from Vegas. But we'll be here.
Yeah, look for us this time next week for Natron Clean. This is your boy Flying J, and good luck in the playoffs, everyone.
Later.
Projecting the jump, projecting the jump, projecting the jump, projecting the jump. It's Nathan, Licky, and Jay. They're projecting the jump today. Will they guess right? Nobody knows. It's a pod.